The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? I haven't seen you in a while, but it's always good when you're here.
Absolutely. Love to be here.
Thank you. And actually, we're going to go right to our first guest, who this morning, this is very significant. I think this is a big part of what goes on in life today. Nicole Christensen is the director of Care Answered. And there's two things that I've heard the statistics many times. Preventable, the third cause of death is something that is preventable, if I'm saying it correctly. And which not in here, but the dollar amount for caregivers is so dramatic people don't realize it. A mother, you know, a daughter helping a mother, a son helping a father, blah, 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 all unpaid caregivers. If you take the caregivers into consideration, that's a huge industry. But the number of people who do it and don't get paid, if you tally that into it, yet the mental anguish, the physical, et cetera, that goes on with those people, it's staggering, and it's only going to get worse as the population ages.
Sadly.
Good morning, Nicole, and thank you so much for joining us, and this is a really important topic.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd love to talk a little bit about that. One of the numbers that you were referring to as the third leading cause of death is preventable medical errors, and that's the third leading cause of death in hospitals. What I mean by that is hospital preventable error is the third leading cause of death in the United States, just behind heart disease and cancer.
Wow.
So that's not even counting those preventable medical errors that occur in other institutions, say a nursing home, a rehab, or even home, when you don't have the advocacy in place. So it affects all of us. Unfortunately, it affects those who are 65 and over even more so. There's something called healthcare illiteracy. That basically means how we're able to absorb the information, the medical information, and then act upon it. Healthcare illiteracy is about just under 50% in the United States.
Wow.
And then for 60 people 65 and over, it's higher than that. And when people hear illiterate, they bring me questions like, I know how to read, I'm very smart, I'm very educated, and all of that is very true. The fact is that acting on healthcare information is different. It's hard for people.
Oh, very confusing.
They go into doctor's office. There's something what we call white coat syndrome, right? The doctor talks or the clinician talks, and we just sit there and listen. And we can't, we don't ask questions. We don't bring our concerns to the table. And if nobody's doing that, then the clinician can't really diagnose and give appropriate information because they're not getting all of the information. So it's really important.
Got in.
One other thing, we can be somewhat intimidated by the doctor, and this is not necessarily exactly the same as white coat syndrome, is that we tend to pedestal as though that person is godly, and it's very difficult to think of them as a human being that have the ability to either make an error or that there are other options open, and it is our responsibility as the patient to be our best advocate in knowing not only that you can look at other resources as well or get more than one opinion so that hopefully they won't all agree with each other, but enough that you know more of a wider range of what's happening.
Absolutely.
Can I just interrupt that for one
sure.
second? I'm going to disagree with that from the point of view that, and I'm complimenting you, Ann, you're intelligent, you're more worldly, you're well-read. A lot of people are not in that same category. They're afraid to ask. They're afraid to question anything. So you're dealing with two different kinds of people. You have a patient who walks in and says, I read this, boom, 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 here are my questions.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that walks in and just totally clueless. And they say, do this, and they don't understand it. I mean, that's just my opinion, that you're dealing with two, there's many classes of people in the world. And you have your own, the people who are their own advocates. Then you have others that just follow.
But all I meant was, is that we just need to be open to knowing that one opinion, if it is not in accord or something doesn't make sense, just to be open-minded, that if you're not that knowledgeable, you can go beyond and you don't have to do exactly what you're told without going into denial. Those are other things as well. I understand.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, there are as many personalities as there are people, right? So one of the things that I say often, to speak to your point, Anne, is because the doctor said so is not an answer. Right. So what we have to do, and it's very hard to do it for yourself, to be perfectly honest, because people go to the doctor. They want to get out of the doctor's office.
Oh, 100%.
Nobody wants to stay in the doctor's office. Some people are nervous that they're going to, if they stay there longer, they'll say something that's negative. Right. And so people want to get out of the doctor's office or the hospital or any kind of institution like that. So whatever is going to get them out of there faster, that's oftentimes what people do. But we can't do that. And because the doctor said so, can't be the answer. Another thing I hear a lot is, well, the doctor said I'm getting older. It's like, oh, if that's what you needed, I could be your doctor. And I am not an MD. I'm not a doctor at all. Because that's what's happening to all of us. We're all getting older. So to be able to prepare, this is the things that I suggest for tips for advocating for yourself or advocating for a loved one. Here's the thing. You have a doctor's appointment. You need to be prepared. We all know that we have very limited time with our doctors these days. So you write down your ailments as they come, meaning you have a notebook at your end table or what have you, so that when the thing happens that is of concern, obviously if it's not an emergency, you write it down because you're not going to remember it. Then you're going to write down all of the questions that you have. You're going to go into the doctor's office. You're going to ask those questions and write down those answers in that same notebook.
Good point.
Because that's the only way you're going to remember. We're all human. We're not going to remember everything. So you're writing down the things. There's three questions that I suggest that people ask when they're going to the doctor's office. And it comes from the National Safety Foundation so that people understand what they're being told. So one is, what is my main problem? Because sometimes the clinician tells you lots of things. And then you're like, okay, what is my main problem? They tell you that, you're writing it down. Then you say, what do I need to do? Whether it's tests or what have you, what do I need to do? Then you write all of that down. Why is it important to me? Why is it important to me that I take these tests? Why is it important to me that this is the diagnosis? Why are these things important to me? And then you write all of that down. The other thing that is really important in doctor's offices is to say, do a talk back. So now you've written these things down, hopefully, and you're repeating the back to them. Are you saying what they think that they said? Oftentimes, no, when I'm in the office as an advocate, because it's not so important that I know. It's important that the patient and their caregiver knows. So if they're repeating it and it's not what they said, that's a great indicator, and they can better understand to make their next choices.
No, I think that's, that's spot on, and that's why I push for people to take somebody with them.
Absolutely.
Have to. I go to the doctor, and either my wife or my partner comes with me. I don't pay attention to anything. My wife will say, what'd they say? I say, I don't know. I think we continue doing it, or don't do that, or don't do what? Whatever he said to don't do. Why? I don't know why. I don't ask a question. I really don't.
You're not alone.
No, that's the norm. And so, therefore, if it's something that's, cutting your finger, you don't need to take people with you. Mm-hmm. But if it gets more serious, then you have to accept your own limitations and if it's a fear or if it's just a complacency or whatever it is, to have somebody with you. So they turn around 2 days later and say, Ma, did you get what they told you to get? Oh, I'm going to get it tomorrow. He said right away, start using it, and go to the store and get it for your mother, whatever it's going to be, which going back to the caregiver part of it. But it really is. It's and I have no idea. I know my own personality, but it's why do people do it? It's still silly because it's the most important thing.
It is.
Pay attention and listen, and take the pill.
It's the most important thing. But it is hard to do, especially if you're sick. If you're actually sick at the time, you definitely
right,
need somebody
yeah,
else.
Right, right.
Because it's overwhelming. Or, you know, you have a diagnosis that is chronic or catastrophic. Your head gets foggy. It doesn't matter. I've had many clients who are nurses and physicians themselves. Your head gets foggy. You kind of go into the emotional. You're in it at that point. So you need an advocate there to kind of help you navigate through it, make sure that you're asking the right questions, get the answers, and then enable you to act on it. So being the liaison, being the coordination for all of your care. So all of that is in place so you can get to the job of healing.
Right, right, right. Which is a job.
Yes.
That's the other side
it
of
is.
It. You
it
don't
is.
Just take the pill and say, I'm going to be better.
No.
It is no different than if you're trying to lose weight or if you're trying to put a garden in the backyard.
It takes
organization
work.
And work and everything else and getting better. You know, they sit there and take a pill. That's not it. If they said exercise, then make sure you walk around the block a few times or
right.
something.
Something that I've found very helpful, and I guess this is what's motivated me to say something about being my own advocate, mm-hmm. is that I went blind in one eye, but while that process was going on, it was at one point suggested by one of the finest eye institutes in this country that I have a surgery done. But thank God I had a eye doctor who said, we got to look further. And I used him as my base okay. as I was looking from others, and he was guiding me. So it's also very important, like an internist or whatever the situation is, that you have someone that is knowledgeable that you can bounce off of what the others are saying. And he may say, have you gone to other institutions? Can we send your films to John Hopkins, which we ended up doing? In other words, you're sort of your own advocate, but you're also using.
You're utilizing what you have.
Right.
Absolutely.
You have a quarterback.
And correct. And it wasn't concerned that it was Columbia University that we were going up against.
That's
one
fine.
Of the finest eye institutes in this
and
area.
And you know what? It's anytime you have a diagnosis that's going to affect your life, which that, of course, was, you must get a second opinion.
Second, third
you
opinion,
must
right.
at least get a second opinion. I don't know if anybody remembers that story. It was a horrible story, and this is not usually the case. But it was the doctor, I believe, in Florida that was diagnosing all of his patients with cancer, and they did not have cancer. And it was horrible. Obviously, it led to a lot of people's deaths because they were getting chemotherapy.
By stupidity,
which
or he was just
poison.
Trying to push drugs on them?
No, it wasn't stupidity. It was malice.
Oh.
So that's not usually the case, obviously. But the point here is many of those people, and I'm not blaming the victim at all, but the point
right,
of that
right.
is you must get a second opinion. Because in that case, these people didn't have cancer at all. So if they have just went to one other oncologist, they may have known. But again, that's a bizarre example, and that's not
but
the norm.
It's the point
of it. Because most doctors, 99%
right.
of them are not malicious. But those that even aren't malicious, they can make a mistake.
Yeah, a mistake can be made.
Oh, absolutely. Again, with my eye, they did a biopsy and said I had glioma, which is a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
We took the films and sent it to the glioma specialists who looked at it and said, this is not glioma.
Wow.
Right. That again.
That's significant.
It's the same thing what we're talking about as far as preventable medical errors. So it is so important to get a second opinion, and it is so important to ask questions. One of the things that I often say is when you go into a clinician's office, they tell you something, ask them, what else could it be? Why is that? Because what is that expression that to a hammer, everything's a nail? You know,
oh, okay,
so if
okay.
they're seeing... If they're seeing so many cases, I give a common one, of the flu. It's this time of year. We're seeing so many cases of the flu. You come in. You have some of those same symptoms. Maybe the clinician says, oh, we've seen a lot of this. It's the flu. Your job as an advocate is to say, is there something else it could be? Because I hear what you're saying. Is there something else? Because that makes people look a little different way. It's just human nature, right, to say, oh, I can't think of anything else it could be, but it makes you then pause
right. I agree
and
with
to
you.
Think. So just a question like that, you don't have to be a doctor yourself to ask these questions and be an advocate.
We're going to take a break.
Sure.
And we're going to come right back to that. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.